Welcome, everybody, to Silverlight TV. Thanks for watching all of our shows. I'm John Papa, the Silverlight Evangelist, and today I've got a return visit from Glenn Block from the CLR team, correct?
Yes.
Yes, and today we're going to talk about...
application partitioning.
Oh, man, I thought you were going to talk about WPF or Windows Forms. We're going to talk about MEF?
And Silverlight.
Okay.
Sorry, WPF, okay. WinForms,
so,
guys.
It's a Silverlight TV. I guess we should talk about Silverlight here. So if you're tuning in, we've had a couple episodes on MEF. We've had Hamilton on here and Glenn as well. We're talking about lots of different things. This is the episode where I kind of get excited because I built a lot of large-scale applications, and Glenn and I have talked over the years about some of my experiences before I came to Microsoft, and I've used some of the products that come out of PMP, but MEF is one of those that's going to help with a couple things like partitioning, which has always been a big struggle for large-scale applications. So from there, Glenn, tell us a little bit about what partitioning is and how MEF addresses that.
Sure. And in particular, I think in the Silverlight space, like when we look at partitioning in the desktop, it tends to mean something else, right? It tends to mean how I deploy my application in a way that the pieces are not all coupled together. In Silverlight, when we look at partitioning, it takes on a new meaning, which is how do I get apps that deploy quickly with a small enough payload and that can bring down functionality as needed.
So we're talking different zap files here.
Exactly. Being able to cross many zaps, because what happens today is you start off building an application and, you know, your zap gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and you might decide to do one level of partitioning of just putting things in separate assemblies. And MEF actually lets you address that very nicely and decouple those pieces. But at some point, that zap is going to be too big. That's one problem that you're going to have that using this new functionality that we're shipping in Silverlight 4 is going to help you to address that very cleanly. Another thing it's going to allow you to do is when we think conventionally, when people get excited about MEF in the desktop, they think about the I drop the binary, you know, into the bin folder and the app just changes.
Right.
And with the app partitioning stuff we're doing, we're allowing you to do something similar, which means that on the server you could deploy a new zap dynamically, and then, you know, as long as you've done some plumbing, the app can discover that and pull that down on the fly.
Great. So let's jump right into the demos that you've got. You have two demos for us today.
Sure.
And we'll show us how MEF works with partitioning.
Yes. So let me give the prequel that this is a demo. This first demo that I'm showing is not necessarily realistic, though it does touch on a realistic scenario, but it's easy to poke holes in it. But what it does do pretty well is illustrate what our API is doing. And then the second demo that I'm going to go into, I think, is a more impressive end-to-end demo of where you can take this app partitioning.
I want to warn all of our listeners and viewers out there for our podcasts that MEF is a professional. Please do not try this at home.
Okay, so what I have here, I said the so word. What I have here is a very simple dashboard application. Anyone who's been to my PDC talk on building rich internet applications, extensible rich internet applications, has probably seen something similar to this, though this is a little different. But what you can see here is I've got two static parts. Those UI widgets, if I look at the XAML here, my main page XAML.
So here we've got a couple different projects in MEF, all three Silverlight projects, right?
This is all Silverlight 4.
Right, but there's three different...
Yes, four projects here, actually, because there's a server project.
Right.
Right, because this type of Silverlight application does need to talk back to the server to be able to dynamically download stuff. But just showing, like, what MEF does for us, if we look at this UI here, I have these two items controls, top widgets and bottom widgets, and they're empty. There's nothing in them. And MEF is being used to consume the available widgets within the application. If you go to my PDC talk or you go to the blog post... the blog series I have on building Hello MEF, you can see how that works. Declaring a widget, though, how do those widgets get discovered? You know, here I have an example of a widget. This is a term I used, but it's a user control. And that widget is using this custom export widget attribute. Now, you learned about custom export attributes in Hammett's last talk. Anyway, what the app is doing is it's discovering by default all of the widgets within my main zap. Now what I want to do is I want to make the ability for me to add new widgets without having to put them into my main project, without having to change the existing application. So here I've got this Hello MEF extensions project, And you'll notice if I look in the references to the main app that it is not referencing it. Normally, if I have multiple projects and I want to get them into the main app, I have to have that reference. Otherwise, they never end up in the app. Okay, so what we're going to do is...
So if I could stop for just a sec. Yep. Looking at that Solution Explorer just briefly, yep. The main Silverlight application is on the top, the HelloMeth. We've yep. got two widgets built into that project.
We do.
Down below, we've got HelloMeth.extensions, which is another project, which I assume will build another Zap file.
Yes, it will.
Since we're simulating another project coming in later.
Yes, we will.
Which will have widgets 3 and 4.
Exactly. Okay. And we have HelloMeth contracts, which, for anybody who knows about Meth, contracts are the way that exports and imports, the way we define the relationship between exports and okay. imports. So those are basically interfaces and our custom attribute, our widget attribute. So what I'm going to do here is, by default, you notice that composition is happening. We have these widgets showing up. So Meth is doing something. The default behavior, though, is it just looks in the current Zap, and we want to change that. So we actually offer an API for overriding the configuration that Meth uses by default. And that allows us to now bring in a new API we have called the deployment catalog. What the deployment catalog does is it allows me to pass in a URI.
Okay, so you're putting in the name of the Zap file here.
I am. Now, this catalog has a method on it called download async. Once I do that, that will cause the catalog to get downloaded. One of the interesting aspects about Meth is it supports a thing called recomposition that we're just going to discuss hand in hand, which means that when new catalogs show up in our container, automatically recomposition can occur, which will update any of the existing components. So any of the existing components that we're asking for widgets, when new widgets show up, they're going to get notified about it. So the way we're going to do that is we're going to first override the default configuration of the container. And we're going to do that by calling this composition_host.initialize method, which is overloaded. It lets me pass in my own container, or for convenience, I can just pass in a param array of catalogs. The first thing I'm going to do is pass deployment catalog with an empty constructor. Why did we do this? This is to say I want you to go get the parts that are existing within the Zap. Because by default, we don't make any assumptions. If you just pass in a set of catalogs, those are the catalogs we use. It gives you the flexibility of deciding whether or not you want to comb the main Zap or not. Okay? In this case, we want to. The next thing we're going to do is pass in our catalog that we just created. Then finally, we're going to call download async. One of the things you're going to notice is I'm not subscribing for the event, even though this does implement the async event pattern. I'm not subscribing to say, when it shows up, let me know. And that's actually the beauty of Meth. Because Meth catalogs can be recomposable, as the new thing shows up, Meth will just do the right thing, assuming that you've opted in to allow recomposition to occur.
So in this case, Meth opted into importing widgets 3 and 4 into this beautiful interface.
You got it. Which say hello Meth 1 and hello 2. Yeah. And you can tell how little UI experience I have. If we look at that main window and see how that recomposition is working, what allows that to happen? The key is we actually have a property that you can set on the import and import many attribute called allow recomposition. That says I am allowed to be recomposed. You have to choose that, though. If I disable this allow recomposition equals true here, what will happen is Meth will actually give me an error. It will get the first set of widgets, but when it tries to get the second, it's going to say, uh-oh. So you have to make a deliberate decision. And the reason we force you to make that decision is you have to actually think about, you know, using recomposition has implications. We're going to actually go and arbitrarily update that collection whenever the updates happen. So we basically want to force you to think about what you're doing rather than just magically make
it
work. Okay, so what we've just seen here in this first example was how I could override some functionality to make the app go and dynamically download stuff as it starts. That's one pattern of building partitioned apps. But another pattern, that's still going to mean that all those things are going to come down, and maybe I don't need them. So another pattern is I want to actually have control and say that depending on a user action, like they chose the orders screen, go and get the associated orders module only at that time. One of the nice things, though, about the dynamic download is because it's working under the hood with IE's infrastructure, like it uses web client. And so what IE will do is it will cache the result. So once you've downloaded that zap once, if you go to download it again, as long as your browser cache not been cleared, it's actually still there, which means it will even work offline, which is quite nice.
So that'll work without a browser.
Yes. Awesome. So what we want to do is we want to actually change all this code here, get rid of it, and we want to say that we're going to allow parts to actually download themselves. Now, this is a decision I have to make. So you don't have to worry from a security perspective about it just working. I have to arbitrarily do something to make that work, and we're going to look at what that is. And instead of just opening up the world and giving access to all the catalogs in my universe, I'm going to wrap, and this is one of the nice things about MEF, that it allows you to do this. I'm going to create a service, and that service is going to implement an interface called iDeployment Catalog Service. And that's the only thing that I'm going to surface up to my users to allow them. And I'm going to say all you can do, you can't look at the existing zaps that are there. You can just add, and I'll also allow you to remove. And it's also encapsulating having to create the deployment catalog. It's doing it for you. You just pass it a URI, and it works.
So you've just made some functions, basically, for people to be able to call into the service and say, add a zap. All you do is tell me which zap you want. The rest of the code is pretty much canned code.
That's it. And the only thing we've done is package up in that static method to have what we need inside the catalog, we need to pass to the container when we create it, this aggregate catalog. The aggregate catalog is a collection of catalogs. And we need that so that when new catalogs come in, we can add it to it. But that has to be in the container so that in order for it to work. So what you can see here in this initialize method is I'm instantiating a new aggregate catalog, and then I'm adding to it the default deployment catalog, which you saw me do before, in order to get the current zap. And then I'm passing that in. But later on, as catalogs are added, I'm basically adding them directly to that aggregate, which is in the container, which is why when recomposition happens, I'll see the UI update. Okay, so let's look at what other change we have to make here. The last change we're going to do is we're going to go into our widget, and our widget has a click button. You saw that there was a button that said, press me to download, or whatever it says.
Right.
So the first thing I'm going to do is we've now made our service available, our deployment service. And the reason why our deployment service is available in the catalog is because this guy has an export on him. So MEF now discovers him just like anything else. And once he's been discovered, now he's available in the container as an iDeployment catalog service, so my widget can pull him in.
Okay, so we simply just import the service.
That's all we did. Once we've imported the service, now in the click, I'm just going to call its add zap method. Okay? And going back to our main page, you can see that, going back to our app, we can see that this is the only code I've added, this initialize. Let's run it. Let's see what happens.
So now what we're doing is we're telling the application, don't download the zaps as soon as you load up. Download them when I ask for them.
You got it. There you go.
Superb.
So again, a very simple illustration, but you can imagine where you can go with it.
Right.
Right. I can have a menu manager or something that says, oh, you clicked on this menu item. I know that's associated with this SAP. Go get it.
This is something that's much more complicated to do when you're not using MEF. I've gone down this road with Silverlight, and the common question is always, how do I deal with these large, as you mentioned, 700 form applications?
Yes.
So this is a good answer for that.
It's one of the reasons we really were excited about getting the deployment catalog in. Now, I know we're kind of running short on time, but let me show you an example of what this means when we bring it all together.
Okay.
So this is an app we call House Space Planner. It's kind of like a Visio-like application, something I would use for creating floor plans. And when this loads up, you'll notice that the screen is getting a little bit chopped off, but that's okay. You'll notice that I have a shape here. All I have is a single shape. Now, how many of you are going to buy a product that only allows you to have a single shape? But I thought you said this was realistic.
Well, it would all fit in the house very easily.
The realistic portion here is that this application dynamically downloads new functionality as needed. Now, here, it's very explicit. You choose. So this shape currently, I can't move it, I can't rotate it. But if I select House Space Planner Services, that has suddenly dynamically downloaded a zap. Recomposition has occurred and now introduced moving and rotation services onto the surface. But then I can also go and enable House Space Planner components. And once I do that, you can see much more happen. I now have additional shapes. I have additional floor plans. But I can even go and do the reverse. I can go here now and turn off the rotation surfaces. And recomposition happened again, and those things were pulled out.
So in this case, we've got two different, well, three Zap files. The first one being the main application. The second one being the services, which has no visible real appearance. It's just helping you put rotational and other movement on those.
Exactly.
The other one's the more standard plugin, which is a visual component of different shapes and sizes.
Exactly. We actually have five projects here, one being the web project, but we have a common as well. And just to show you a little bit about how that works under the hoods, I'm using the same deployment catalog service here, which is a common pattern, and we'll be releasing some code on this on CodePlex. But if I look into my planning pane...
Your plan pane?
You notice here I have this element service.
Yes.
And that guy has this allow default equals true. That says to MEF, it's okay if I don't have a value initially, but I might have a value later. I've designed my... And if you don't do that, basically MEF will prevent this part even from being created. And that goes under a concept called stable composition, which is for another conversation. But what you can see here is allow recomposition doesn't only work for collections. It works for single values. Where I think this really drives home the value that we're bringing here is to just to quickly step through it, because you can see all the work that MEF is really doing for you. So here is where I'm going, and I'm calling that AddZap. And if we run this app, the first time we run, we're going to see we're going to see composition happen, and we're going to see that the element moving service is null. Right?
Right.
Now, if I look at the call stack, if I can see it, you can see here that MEF is the guy who set this, right? My shell loaded, MEF did all the composition. Now, if I go now and I enable House Space Planner services, you can see again that MEF went, as soon as I did that check, I went and added the zap, and as soon as the zap showed up, recomposition happened. There's no magic code in between. That's the beauty of the recomposition model that we've introduced in MEF and why it fits so well with this application partitioning paradigm.
And that's ideal in this situation. This is very good information, Glenn. And are you going to make available some of these code samples to us?
So what you're seeing right now is Silverlight 4 bits that have not yet shipped. So you've seen a preview of, we've changed our previous APIs that for part initializer to composition initializer. And we've moved the deployment catalog into Silverlight, which was formerly the package catalog in the Silverlight toolkit. And it looks very different, but it's a more robust solution. We will be, however, shipping that code on CodePlex as well, compatible with Silverlight 3. So by the time this episode shows, it should be available.
So it should be available by the time the episode shows. That's great. Yes. Well, Glenn, thank you for coming on board. I know this is a great practical example of MEF, and I think it really starts to drive home how the different pieces can really help an application. Thank you all for watching Silverlight TV once again. And again, if you have any questions or feedback in the future, please follow us on Twitter at Silverlight TV. Okay.